Today's daf is daf ches. So we got the last few words on Zayin Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Gidal Amar Rav, minayin shenishbon l'kayimas ha-mitzvah. How do we know that a person may take a shua on a ready existing mitzvah? He could take a shua on top of a shua. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Nishpati v'kayema lishmor mishpatei tzidkecha, says the pasuk that's found in Tillim, that I took a shua and I will fulfill to keep the mitzvahs of Hashem. So you see, a person can take a shua on a mitzvah. The Gemara says, "How does that work?" Halo mushbav omid bahar Sinaihu. The guy ready is took a shua ready from Kabbalah Satorah. Each and every one of us had taken a shua to keep the Torah. And the klal is ein shua chal shua. You can't take a shua on top of an already existing shua. So Gemara says, "You're right." Ela hakamashmon deshar le leinish lizruzei nafshei. A person may take such a shua not really because it's chal per se, but because it's a way of trying to excite him, to motivate him to fulfill the mitzvah. So if you look at the Ran, six narrow lines up, eight narrow lines up. Ela hakamashmon deshar le lizruzei nafshei. Ran says, we see from here it's permitted for a person to take a shua in order to strengthen and motivate himself. Kolomar, vade lo itzrich haikra lomar, shi chala lagave bal yechal. You don't need a pasuk to tell me that the bal yechal is chal. The Ran points out here, is indicating that the shua actually is chal, and if he takes a shua, let's say, that I'm going to wear tefillin today, and he doesn't wear tefillin, he actually will violate an iser of bal yechal, violating the shua, even though he already is mushba bihar Sinai. So he says, certainly you don't need a pasuk to tell me you violate the Isser Bal Yachel. That's pasuk. El Hachi Kamar, what the Gemara is teaching us here is, Minayin Shedavar Hagunhu, that it's appropriate for a person to do this, Li Shava L'Kayim Mitzvah Mitzvah, to make a Shvuah, to make sure he fulfills a Mitzvah. Vafilu K'sherim Sheminam Mishvuah, even though K'sherim in general are supposed to hold back, refrain from taking Shvuahs, in this case, Nishban Hein Bekach, they are allowed to and really are encouraged to take Shvuahs, Lizruzei Nafshei, Shenemar, the Pasuk in Tilm says, V'nishpati V'akayma, Kulomar, Sherei David, Hayosakin, David, what greater kosher person than him, yet he still took Shvuahs to fulfill the Mitzvah. So it's a wonderful thing. And nowadays, I wouldn't necessarily advise it. Now we live in a different world, but at least then it was very, very advisable to take shvuah. But the Ran assumes that if a person does take a shvuah on a mitzvah and he doesn't keep the mitzvah, he will violate the iser bal yachel. Now, you saw that little circle and the Ran took you to the Gilyon HaShas. The Gilyon HaShas, Rabbi Kiva Eger, in the middle column, the inside column, he says, he quotes Baran, the second entry here. The Gilyon HaShas, you see? In the center, for me, it's the top is Mitzvah Shas, Bach, and Gilyon HaShas. So, Rabbi Kiva Eger writes in one of his comments, the second comment, Dibar Maschil Halo Baran, Dibar Maschil Halo Mushma Bevomid, Shichal Lagave Bal Yachel. That's a quotation from the Ran. He says, Ayin Beloshin Haramban Al HaTorah, Parshas Matos, where it talks about Nidarm, Shekosov, and the Ramban writes, Afilu Biki Mitzvah Asay Ein Chalos. There is no chalos shvuah on taking a shvuah on a mitzvah. Shim nishba l'kaim es ha-mitzvah v'lo kaim, if he takes a shvuah that I'm going to wear tefillin today and he does not, eino mischai mishum shvuah v'lo karbon v'lo malchus. There will be no obligation of violating the iser here at all. So it's a big machlokus whether shvuah is chal or not. The Ramban thinks there's no shvuah that's chal. It's just by taking a shvuah, person feels that he's more motivated, but it's not. There's no real chalos.
What year did the Ran live?
We do know. I don't know.
He was like way after Rashi?
Probably a couple centuries after Rashi or so.
Rashi was 1100.
Yeah. I think the 11th and 12th centuries, I think Rashi was hugging that turn of the century, I think. The Ram was probably 1200-1300, I think. The Ram was a Talmud of the Ramban, actually. So the Ramban says differently. The Ramban says that the Shua is not Chal at all. Now, when the Ramban says that the Shua is not Chal, and therefore there's no Karbon, there's no Malkus, does he seem to indicate, is there an Isser involved, though? So the Ktos HaChoshen, one of the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat, is Medayik from many places, that the Ramban agrees there's an Isser. If a person takes a Shua to keep Tefillin, to wear Tefillin, and he doesn't, you're right, he won't be Chayv HaKarbon and not Chayv Malkus, but there still will be an Isser for violating that Shua. That's what he's Medayik. Pashas of the Ramban is not that way, but the Kso says anyway. So there are three basic shitas. When a person is taking a shul on top of a already existing mitzvah, is it a full-fledged shul and you violate the Isser Bal Yachel, there'll be a karbon, there'll be a malkos, Or is there nothing at all, no Isser at all? Or maybe in the middle there's an Isser, but there's no carbon, there's no Shua, there's no Malkus.
But nobody says that it's Usser to take the Shua.
Exactly, right. No, this is Usser. It's actually, right, it's encouraged. It sounds like it's encouraged to take the Shua. We'll see later on, there's going to be a number of different types of Shuas. The Shuas Rasham, the Shuas Rizim, the Shuas Anasim. The Shuas Rizim is the Shua of the Kshem. It is an advisable type of Shua to take. Okay. Then the Gemara says, five lines down, Amar Rav Gida Amar Rav HaOmer Ashkem V'Ashana Perek Zeh. I'm going to wake up early and learn this Perek. Ashana Masechet Zeh. I'm going to wake up early and learn this Masechet. Now, something Achronim point out, why repeat Perek in Masechet? So some say Perek doesn't mean a Perek of Mishnah, Perek of Gemara, Perek Tehillim. It means a Zman. Perek sometimes means Zman, like Leprakim, Prakim. So it means I'm going to wake up and learn 30 minutes in the morning, or I'm going to wake up and learn a certain amount. So either amount of time or amount of daf. That's what he says. So he says such a neder. Zu neder gadol neder lel kei Yisrael. This is a very, very big neder that this person has taken upon himself. So that's the klal. The Gemara said, wait a second, halo mushba v'omeidhu? But he already has a mitzvah. He already took a shua to learn every single day. I'm taking a shua to learn today, that what ain't shua halal shua? Fine. So a couple points to go on here. Number one is, the Gemara seems to change from neder to shua. Initially, we say neder, and then the Gemara shifts to shua. Right? So the Ran points out here, if you look at the Ran, Halo Mushba Bahar Sinai, this is like the first wide line in the Ran. He says, Kolomar afta vadai afagav de kamras nether gadol. Even though the language being used is nether gadol, says the Ran, Shavua kamras. It really means to say a Shavua, damar behedya b'shavua ashana perkzeh. It really means a Shavua here. So he goes on to bring a number of rides. We don't need to go through all of them, but sometimes they do interchange nether and Shavua. Even though we learned already a number of times, Nether and Shavua are very, very much different from each other.
Even if he doesn't say Yeshua, this is Ashkim Veshne Perek.
Right. But it has to be meaning, it has to be referring to a Shavua here. He says, let's actually read a little further, actually. Shehare Nether, Kevin Shumitsar Achevta Nafshe.
Reading what?
The Ran, yeah. Continuing the Ran, the end of that wide line. Shehare Nether, Kevin Shumitsar Achevta Anafshe Lesi Lelum Ba'ase. The Ran thinks you can never take a neder on a chevta shel mitzvah. Because a neder says, remember the object is asur to me, that this tissue box is asur to me. You can't take a neder on a mitzvah to make a mitzvah, to make me do a mitzvah. It only asurs things. It doesn't create new things, it says the Ran. And therefore, even though it says in the Gemara, neder gadol nadol lel kei Yisrael, really refers to a shavua. That's the understanding of the Ran. And the Rush actually thinks differently. Rush thinks the word nether doesn't really mean nether, but he thinks it's more like nether tzedakah. We don't need to go into that Ran right now, that Rush right now. Either way, the guy takes a shvua that I'm going to wake up early this morning, I'm going to learn a Perek of Tehillim, or I'm going to learn a 30 minutes, or I'm going to learn a Meseches Horios, let's say. So that shvua is chal. So the Gemara asks again, what do you mean? V'halo mushvim v'omid v'har Sinai. Back to the Gemara. Vein shvua chal shvua. So let me ask you, what's the chi of learning? Why not? I have to learn every single morning. I need to learn Maseches Horios. If I take a shua to learn Maseches Horios, that's Shavuos Achal. I have no obligation to learn Maseches Horios this morning.
Right.
So look at the Ran. Very, very important and famous Ran. The Ran says here, you see the Ran around six wide lines down, HaKamashmalan, Dechevan Dibay Pata Nafshe. Actually, I didn't do the Gemara yet. I apologize. Let's read the Gemara, then we'll come back to the Ran. So the Gemara says, what's the answer? How can you take a shua? If I already have a shua to learn every single day, how can I take another shua to learn Horios this morning? So my Kamashvalan, says the Gemara, Dafilu Zruze Balma, that he's allowed to be Mizaris himself, to motivate himself by taking a shua. Whereas the Hainu de Rav Gidal Kamaisa, that was the first Rav Gidal. Remember, just before we learned, Rav Gidal says, a person can take a shua to learn a certain do a mitzvah, and the shua is chal. And here we're saying a person can take a shua to learn, and the shua is chal. It's the same exact thing, a shua is chal in terms of being Mizaris himself. Why repeat the same concept? The Gemara explains, HaKamashimlan, Kevin di boy pater nafshe. Since if a person wanted, he could exempt himself from learning B'Kriyashma Shachris V'Arvis by saying Shema in the morning and Shema in the evening, Mishum Hachi Chal Shu'aleh. That's why the Shu'a is Chal. So what's Pashas of the Gemara here? Pashas of the Gemara is, if you look at the Rush first. See the Rush? At least in mine, it's five wide lines down. It says, "Halo mushba v'omeidhu dechsev higisa bo yom v'layla."
We have the second wide line.
Okay, Fine. So you see that one? He says there are actually two. There are two halabush b'har Sinai. Make sure it's the right one. He just quotes the pasuk. What's the shu'a that we have to learn every single day? The shu'a to learn every single day is v'higisa bo yom v'layla, that we have to learn every single morning, every single evening. Yeah, but I think you got the wrong one. Yeah. So there's a Gemara in Menachos which talks about how to understand the pasuk. Does it mean to learn all day, all night, or does it mean to learn, say, Shema in the morning and Shema in the evening? That's enough. So it sounds like the Rush is passing like the Man D'Amar that says one could learn in the morning, one could learn in the evening. That's all the chiyuv to learning is once in the morning, once in the evening. And through Shema, which is also, there's a big element of Shema is also Talmud Torah, that too, that's how you're Yotzei learning every single day, by saying Shema. So, says the Gemara, what's Pshat according to the Rush? Since you could just exempt yourself to the bare minimum of learning by saying Shema in the morning, Shema in the evening, I can take a Shavua on additional learnings. The Shavua will be Chav. I have no Shavua to learn Kol HaTorah Kul every single day. So if I take a Shavua to learn Horios today, that Shavua will be Chav. That's according to the Rush.
So if Rukido is coming to teach you this din of Kriya Shema Shachar Tzvaris, is it sufficient?
He's saying that you would think, and if you would, you would think that since you could exempt yourself from learning Shema and Shema in the morning and Shema in the evening, you would think that's why the Shu'a would be Chal. Kamashman, the Shu'a won't be Chal, and the Shu'a is only a Shu'a's reason. We had Machlokes before you got here where the Shu'a is Chal. So it's really Shu'a's reason, but not the question becomes, though, why is the Shu'a not Chal? If the only chiyuv is to learn in the morning and the evening, and I take upon myself a shu'a to learn horios, so why is that nachal? I have no obligation to learn kol haTorah kula today. So,
Don't learn from it any kula.
What?
Don't learn from it any kula.
Any kula? Why not?
It's obligated by Shema Arvit and Shema Shacharit.
Right, but if I want to learn more, so maybe the shu'a should be chal. If I only have to learn in the morning...
Should be chal, yeah.
No, but according to the Gemara here, it sounds like it's not chal. Sounds like it's not chal lemaskana according to the Rush's understanding this. So it sounds like, it is therefore chal. According to the Rush, it is chal. Yes, you're right, it is chal. Now let's look at but according to the Rush, the only chiv to learn every single day is saying Shema in the morning, Shema in the evening. That's sufficient. If you look at the Ran now, the Ran writes five wide lines down the Ran. Hokamashimlan, Chemin di bay pata nafshe. Mistavra Lee says the Ran, it seems logical to me. It's not only through learning Shema in the morning and the evening or reciting Shema in the morning and the evening your putter. Share chayv kol adam lomod tamid yom v'layla kivikocho. There's obligation to learn all morning, all evening, according to each person's strength. V'amrin b'per kamet the kedushin tanur rabbanu v'shinantam sheyehu divrei Torah mechudadim b'ficha. That it has to be sharp on your tongue. Shem yishalcha adam davar shalom tinkam gein v'tomar l'vechulei. Person asks you a question, you shouldn't stumble and mumble and to say what the answer is. To think about it, it should be a direct, automatic response. So the Ran quotes a different pasuk than that of the Rush. The Rush quotes the pasuk v'gisabo yom v'layla. Enough for a little bit in the morning, and enough in the evening. It's about the sheer zman. The Ran says you have to learn until you, as a gavra, know every single possible halacha possible. So there's no exempting learning ever. So he says the kriyasha shachmas v'arvus lo sagi lahachin. That's saying that in the morning and the evening. That's not going to cut it. That's not going to ever get you to the point of shinantam l'vanecha. So what's going on here? Elamikan nir li. Raya Lamasha Kasafti Bepek Shuas Shaim Basar. This is a great raya for me, says the Ran, to what I wrote in Masecha Shuas. What I write there. Dechol midi de'asa midrasha. Anything that's learned out from a drasha, afa pishu hu min haTorah, even though it's a drasha min haTorah, it's through a gzer shava, through a hekesh, whatever the drasha is, it's a Torah drasha. Kaven de lesson mefurash b'kras, since it's not explicit in the pasuk, behedia shvu chal olav. The shvu is going to be chal on it. No, when you take a shvu.
So he's saying that it's not shvu mehar
Sinai. So exactly, he's saying we each have obligation to learn all day long as much as we're able to learn. That's the obligation to learn. But since it's not mefurash in the pasuk, the shvu is chal on it. It's a technicality of how a shvu is chal. A shvu can be chal on something that's not mefurash in the Torah, even though there's a chiv deraisa to learn. It doesn't say explicitly. What?
On the pshat.
Now he says, v'hacha, continuing in the Ran now, hacha, hachi kaminon, the way we read pshat here in the Gemara is as follows. Kevin di boy patan afshe, mimai dechsi bekra, since you could exempt yourself from the mefurish and pasuk, Dahinu b'shachbov kamecha, you could be yote learning in the morning, learning in the evening. But kriyashma shachmas varvis mishum hachi chal shvua alea legamri afilu lekarbon. Therefore, the shvua is chal on taking additional learning on yourselves, even though there's an obligation to learn all day long. Since that obligation is not explicit in the pasuk, the shvua will be chal. That's how the Ran learned. So it comes out here. It's a big machlokas Ran versus the Rosh and other Rishonim. What is your obligation to learn every single day? Is it simply in the morning or the evening and your yotze with Shema? Or is it to learn all day long according to your koach? Big, big machlokas. Okay. Back to the Gemara now. Gemara halfway down says, Amar Rav Gidal, Amar Rav Rav. Ha'omer l'chaver, a person says to his friend, Nashkin v'nash neshne perikzit. Let's wake up early tomorrow morning. Let's learn for 30 minutes or so. Alav Lahashkim, on him there's obligation to wake up early. Shenemar, the pasuk that's found in Yechezkel says, "Vayomer Eli," and the person said to me, "Kum tsei el habika." Let's go out to the valley. V'sham there, adaber oscha. I will speak to you. V'tsei el habika, and I'll go out to the bika. V'nei sham kavod Hashem omed. And there, the honor of Hashem is standing. So this is somehow a proof for that. Let's look at the Ran. The Ran says around 8 lines up, "Alav Lahashkim." Mistavrili says the Ran Dehachi Kama. The shot of the Gemara is as follows. Kevin Shamar Nashkim, since he says, let's go up as a Nachtu, we should go up. Hare Kabbalav Shehehu Me'ore Bedavar Kshem Shume or Me'achshav. That person who he's talking to should also be engaged in this whole conversation to wake up early as well. Vitarati Kamashman, there are two Chidushim from this statement. Chada, number one, the Bekabalav Alma, the Davar Mitzvah Mehanye, to accept upon yourself to do something positive, a mitzvah works. That even though you don't mention neder, you don't mention shvua, a statement alone will be binding. That's why it's very, very important to say. That's what Harry said. The Shal should say bli neder. If you take upon yourself to do something, you need to say bli neder. Even though you didn't say I'm going to learn nedarim, with a neder you take upon yourself, you just say I'm going to learn nedarim. If you don't say bli neder, it sounds like it might be binding. Dumya, similar to the Ma'ad Amirim b'Kabbalah b'Lchud Mahanya l'Tzedakah k'dichse b'Pichasud Tzedakah. A person says, "I'm going to give money." I get all the time. Different schools or organizations call me and say, "Are you willing to pay $100 for this school?" Just say yes. Just say yes. And if you say yes, you've now obligated yourself to pay that, even though you didn't say, "I'm taking a nether." That simple yes is enough. So you have to be careful what you say. This applies to all mitzvahs as well, to always say bli nether, so you don't make yourself stuck in this nether. If you don't fulfill the nether that you took upon yourself, you're in big trouble. And kamashma number two is, da'alav lahashkim kida'avid kutshabrichu, that it's an obligation for you to wake up like a Kodesh Baruch Hu did. Unfortunately, I don't know the context of Yechezkel to appreciate this, but either way there, this was binding, this type of statement.
It seems from here that the Kodesh Baruch Hu was there before him, so the fact that Hashem was there before him,
it's not fair.
So I guess Hashem said to me, let's go up, I want to speak to you there. I guess the Shekhinah was saying to Yechezkel, meet me over there in the Bika, and let's have a conversation. So he went there, Kodesh Baruch Hu was already waiting there.
Right.
So you see the nether is binding, even to the other party, as long as the party, okay, Ricky says, let's learn tomorrow morning. I say, okay, I also have to meet him since I said okay. I guess that's the idea.
ויקדים הוא לחברו, שבאומרו נשקים קיבל על עצמו להיות ראשון לדבר כשם שעכשיו הוא הראשון לברר את העניין.
This is the first guy to be there?
I think, right. I think when you tell somebody, listen, we're going to learn tomorrow morning, you have to be there before him. The same way as when Hashem told Yechezkel, he was there before him.
Aha.
That's what means, Hashem is always everywhere.
So Allah l'hashkim. It's on him, the guy who initiated this nether. He has to be the first one.
Right. I think that's the Chavana.
Okay.
There's a separate din for Nedarim by Dvar Mitzvah that just verbalization that counts as a nether.
That's what it sounds like, yeah. Yeah. And I don't think it's outside of, I think it's all mitzvahs, right?
Yeah.
Meaning that if you think it doesn't count, but tzedakah, if you think it counts.
It's stuck at a very different level. Even machshava works by tzedakah.
Right.
Other things, I don't think machshava will be binding.
No, probably not.
But when you say something, so then it's very binding. People get, you know, when people make a pledge by tzedakah, it becomes a big problem if they don't fulfill that pledge.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine, back to the Gemara. The Gemara now says, Amar of Yosef, around 10 lines up. Rav Yosef says, Niduha b'chalom tzarech asar b'nei adam lahatir lo. So what happens is a person has a dream, and in his dream, they placed him as a nidoy, they placed him as a menuda. He's excommunicated. So what's halach? He needs to find 10 people to release him from this nidui that he was placed in the dream. Very strange. So if you look at the Ran, there seem to be a couple of pshat in what's going on in the dream here. So the Ran writes, nidohu b'chalom tarach la'asar b'nei adam l'hati lo, l'fisha efshe shebishlichus ha'mokom nisnada, that the dream, whatever happened in the dream, was some level of shlichus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He received nidui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'fikach tarach asar l'hati sheshchina imahim. Why 10? Because the Gemara in Brachos tells us that when 10 people are there, Kadosh Baruch Hu is present as well. So you need the Shechina to be there to undo the nether, the nidur. The Tosos, the slightly different pshat, might be the same thing, I'm not really sure. But he says, Tzarech Asar B'nei Adam L'Hatir Lo. My Tosos is found 5 lines up from the bottom. Yours are probably different, Tzur Sadaf. He says, L'fi Shechalom Have Kein Nevua, some level of prophecy, as the Gemara in Brachos tells us at the end. Yesh lo lidog min apronos, he has to be worried about anything bad happening to him. L'chach tzarech l'hatir b'asara, he needs 10 people. V'oz hu mutter b'osa bezin shenideo da'akol b'asara shechina sharia. So the 10 people, the same shot of 10 people being there is the Shechina. I'm not sure if he means differently the Nevua and Shlichas, if those are two different things, or Nevua is Shlichas. I'm not really, really sure. But what is interesting, though, is that we're taking this dream somewhat seriously. You know, again, we did point to the Gemara Brachos at Nevuah, that each Chalm has a certain element of a Nevuah to it, but it is being taken seriously. Now, this calls into the discussion of, in general, about the status of Chalamos when it comes to Halacha. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin and a few other places that says, Ein Chalamos, Ein Ma'alin, Ein Moridin, or something like that. There's no basis. Chalamos have no, it's not binding at all. But there are places, I think there's a story of Rameh, I forget the story exactly, where he was doing something based on a Chalam. There's a very well-known story, the Or Zeruah, the Sefer Or Zeruah, is a Rishon. He wrote a Sefer called it the Or Zeruah. If you write the Hakdama, you saw the Hakdama, you heard about it maybe? Right. Ever wrote it? He said, yeah? Oh, yeah, I've never heard him mention it. Okay. So, and Rav Asher Weiss, I know, speaks about this. So, in Minchas Asher, he writes this in by Yosef in his dreams. So he says that in the Hakdama, the Or Zeruah, why is he called the Or Zeruah? Why do he call the safe Or Zeruah? So there's a Shiloh, there's a suffix, how to spell the name Akiva when it comes to a Ged, when it comes to a Ksuva, how to spell Akiva. So you and I would think Ayin Kuf Yud Vez Aleph. That's how he spelled Rabbi Akiva all throughout Shas. If you look in the Yushami, he actually spelled with a Hey at the end. So he wasn't sure it should be an Aleph or should it be a Hey. So one time he had a dream, and the Pasuk appeared to him, Or Zeruah Latzadik Lishalev Simcha. The suffix Tevas of those are Ayin Kuf Yud Vez Hey. So based on that dream, he paskin halacha, based on that dream, that it should be a kiva with a hey at the end. He therefore called his sefer or zaruah based on the pasuk that he saw in the dream. So we see from here that the you can paskin based on dreams. And there are a number of other rishonim who paskin based on dreams they've had as well. So this gemara also, which does take the what occurs in a dream very seriously, tells us that it's if you get nidui in a dream, you have to take it seriously. You need 10 people to undo you, to release you from that nidui.
Have you seen anywhere the Lashon of
placing Nidui? Have you seen that? We saw it in Gemara Moikatan, the third parak talks about it.
Does that have the same as Shenim?
Nidui? I don't think so. Okay. So again, so what happens if a person's placed in Nidui, so you need 10 people where the Shechina is going to be amongst them to release him from this Nidui. But the Gemara qualifies, not just anybody could be the 10 people. Who did Tanu Hilchus? It has to be a person who learned Halacha Maisa. About Masiv Lo Tanu? If he learned Mishnayos but didn't learn a Libud Hilchus yet, lo, he doesn't qualify. You need to get to a certain level. If you lack the Tanu Hilchus, so let's say you can't find anybody who was a posek. You just find people who learned some Daf Yomi in the morning, but none of us are poskim here. So what are you going to do now? I feel Masiv Lo Tanu, even if a guy learns but doesn't get the Halacha, then that works as well if you can't find 10 poskim. Now if you lack a lazy, if you can't find even people who are just stam learning, what are you going to do? Lazo v'lesev aparshas drachim, go stand at the crossroads, v'yahiv shlomo lebei asara, and give shalom to 10 people, ad mikloy le asara de gamri hilchasa, until 10 people who had, 10 poskim had passed by, and then you've been yotze by saying shalom. So I guess the point was, it was hard to find 10 people to gather together to help you out, so you stand by the crossroads, eventually you're going to end up finding 10 poskim along the way, however long it takes, depending where you live.
Here it seems,
yeah. Right.
We're reading the same thing.
Yeah. No, so here it seems that Hilchet Gemara and Matnu is Mishnah.
Say again, that which one is?
Hilchet is Gemara.
And Matnu is Mishnah. Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
What are you going to say?
No. So the Shalom Asara Ovre Orach. Again, it's not necessarily Asara Poskim Ovre Orach.
What was I missed that then? Say it again.
When if you cannot find anybody that learns, so you go to that intersection. Mm-hmm. And just any 10 people.
Any 10 people.
Which will say you
no, but it's low back. Actually, as Dumbo Luasara, till he right, till he sees 10 that learn Gemara.
What does it say?
Hey, let's look at Iran. Let's look at Iran together.
It's the same place for you.
So you see the Ran? You see the Ran four lines up. Let's take the Ran. This will first be the Ricky's point and then David's point. The Ran writes, "Who demasu hilchasam?" The first qualification is a person who learned halacha. So Ricky was saying that it's Gemara. So kolomer demasnu lachem. He teaches others. That's what it means. Teaching others, not just learning aliba hilchasa. Teaching others about tanu b'luchul lo. But if he learns on his own, that's not enough. De lo chashiv kulihai. A person learning on his own is not so chashiv. Only yeah, person who teaches. Right. The second pshat is what Ricky said. V'ikad de garsi de tanu hilchasa kolomer Gemara about masu kolomer misha b'luchul lo. If you just learn mishnayos, that's not enough. You have to learn Gemara as well. Now, what's Gemara, though? You have to understand Gemara is not simply what we think of it, just it's analysis. Gemara is also a libud hilchasa. Rashi all over Shas tells what's the difference between Gemara and Mishnah. If you learn Mishnah, so you're going to be stuck without Tamim, you're going to be stuck without the stiras and stuff. The Gemara comes to answer all the stiras and Mishnahs and gives all the reasonings, a libud hilchasa. It's not simply just to learn to the intellectual pursuit, it's really to come out to a psak halacha. So either the pshat is someone who teaches versus someone who learns on his own, or Gemara, a libud hilchasa versus Mishnah. And then, to David's point, you have Shlama Be'asara. So David was right. First it says, you're supposed to say Shalom to 10 people until you find 10 poskim. It seems the Gemara is something off about the Gemara. So the Ran explains, Mitoch she'yashivu lo Shalom, when people respond back Shalom to you, yaginu alav mina yisum, it's going to protect you from all the yisum that's going to take place to the Nidoim, ad the Mekalin Le'asara. So first make sure to, you know, find 10 people, say Shalom to 10 people. Then you could just sit there and wait until you find 10 poskim, and once you get the 10 poskim who finally release you from this neither, then you're good to go.
Question is different. At that time, there was Mara.
There were certain times. I'm not sure what time exactly this was, but seemingly the one who thinks Pshat here is Hilchasa's Gemara, then yeah. And Mishnayos, I mean, they always learn Mishnayos, and it wasn't always recorded. It wasn't recorded necessarily Gemara, but they had Mishnayos before the Gemara existed. They were still figuring out what's Pshat here, and they had Shirim and Drushes. Okay.
So he doesn't need 10 people at the same time. He just needs 10 people.
Right. Ideally, there should be 10 people at the same time, but if he can't...
From here, that not. But if you watch by the drachma, unless he keeps on telling him, stay.
Exactly. It's a hard time to find 10 posts and get them in the same room. So if you can't accomplish that, wait until you meet them, I think. Unless he's saying, until you see 10 people, who you say, wait here for a moment until 10 people gather around, then they all gather around. I mean, he first says 10, he says, shalom to 10 people to give him that protection.
I think that's what
right, but then you have 10 people anyway, so it's just giving you advice about how to find 10 people. You can go out to the street and find 10 people.
Well, then he says...
Like, you wait there long enough?
Right, that's true. He wouldn't be giving advice about how to find people.
I'm just saying that could count also, like, if you wait long enough, so you get one, then you get another one, 10 minutes later, you get another one, right, until you get 10.
But then wouldn't accomplish the idea of 10 people being together, the Shekhinah being there, right, that won't accomplish that. You said Tosa said something about this?
Actually,
Tosus does address this point. Look at the Tosus on the bottom. You see Tosus Dibur Maschil, V'i lo azil al Parshat Drachim V'yav Shlom al Be'esara. You can't find 10, go to the Parshat Drachim. Says Tosus, Ki heichi de lehadri le Shlomo, they could return Shalom to you. Say hello. Umolo litlos lo lahagin lo minayisrim. It's going to protect you. Ad mikle asara de gemar yehilchsa v'tu lo hanidur. Okay. I will lek lefarish ad mikle asara de mas hilchsa v'yav le shlama. Doesn't mean to wait for 10 people to give you shalom. Dimkein lama chazav hiski asara gavi ad de mikle. Why repeat 10 twice? Hayalo lomar shiv said ad de mikle de masnu v'anon yadino de oson de kvar yohav shalmakai. Shmami akideprishos. So,
I think it is both. Saying the 10 people will protect you in the meantime,
mm-hmm,
and until you find the 10,
that will release you.
Which will matter.
Right, but then to your point, we look what he says. How the naked parsha drachim yeshafar shesham regiyus limtza sarven adam yachad yosem beer. He's giving you etzah tova. You want to find people, go to the highway. Don't go to the city. You ask what's the chiddush? We know that people are more found in the rishis and rabbim than in the city. But he says yeshafar shdafilu bezachazah. Even if one after the next moil, it works. Meaning the first pshat tosa is a little unclear what he was saying. But you need all 10 people to wait around as the unit for the shechina. But then he says maybe it's possible one after the next will suffice as well. Because that's what people say hi. I guess in the city they weren't so friendly. If you said hi to somebody in the city, they think it's a little awkward. You go to the highways, that's where people say hello to each other. So go there, people won't find you to be so weird. Okay. It's an interesting thing what's going on here. I still wonder what pshat is, but how zachazah works if you need 10 people for the shechina. Okay, let's go weiter. Gemara says, four lines up. Amalei Ravina le Rav Ashi. Ravina says to Rav Ashi, Yoda man dishmasei mau. Let's say in the dream you know who gave you. We can't use Ruvain now as examples. We have to use Shimon now. So this is Shimon gives you. Shimon in the dream says to you, you should be a nidui. So you know who Shimon is. He's your neighbor. So what's halacha? Mau de lishrele. Could you go knock on Shimon's door and say, no, I know it's a little weird, Shimon, but I had a dream about you last night, and you actually placed me in nidui. Do you mind releasing me? Will that work? That was Ravina asks Rav Ashi. So Amarlei, Rav Ashi responds back, Lishmusei shavi lishliach, Lemishelei lo shavi lishliach. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the dream, only appointed Shimon as a shliach to place him in neither, but maybe he didn't appoint him a shliach to release him from this, so it doesn't work. So Amarlei, Rav Ashi responds to Rav Ashi now, Shamte v'sharilei b'chal memahu. Let's say in the dream, Shimon places you in nidui, and he also releases you in that very same dream. So maybe you're good to go now. So Amarlei, so the response back, Rav Ashi was very machmir here. Amarlei, k'shem she'yevshar levar below teven, just like, what's the little thing, a bar, what's it called, in English?
This is the grain without the chaff.
The grain without the chaff. The chaff is the bad stuff, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's when I went grinding with my for my wheat last year for the matzah. Also, we did all the sifting and everything like that, and there's still some of that chaff left. So the Hasidish guy who was doing with us, who didn't speak a word of English, but he spoke in Hebrew, he quoted this line. He says, "Yev shar v'var below tevin." It's impossible. There's always going to be little chaff that's going to be left in the into the flour. So he says, "Shem shev shar levar below tevin, kach yev shar lechalim below dvarim b'telim." So too, it's impossible for a dream not to have dvarim b'telim, meaning. So it's very possible the fact that he released him, that was Dvarim B'Telem. But maybe the fact that he placed him in Nidoy was Dvarim K'sherim, and therefore it would be binding the Neder, the Nidoy, but not the Hatara. Okay. Okay, the interesting Ron on top here. How are we doing with time? Oh, not bad. So the Ron says on the top, Kishem Shiev Shalab Bar Below Tevin, Kedichsiv Asher Ito, Chalam V'chule, Mal Tevin Es Bar V'chule. Tzarech Ian, he asks the following question. Someone is placed in nidui in his dream. Is it really going to be binding? Lemaisa. We're not really sure if it was a real nevuah, real shlichus, whether it's a dvarim b'telem or not. Does he now have to act as if he's really a nidui and other people have to treat him that way until he's released? Even though it says here you require it to be released and it sounds like it's very serious, ain't lomom nikan lemisha neder b'chalam shi tzarech heter. So what about a nether? You shouldn't say a person takes a nether in a dream, that nether doesn't necessarily require a heter. There's a difference between a nether and nidoy. Dehacha, hainu taim ha-mishim de'ikol meymar mishim in ha-shemayim nidoy. It's possible a Kadosh Baruch Hu placed you in nidoy. Ma'ashein lomar came a nether, a Kadosh Baruch Hu can't make a nether on your behalf, so therefore by nether it doesn't work. Ella, shereitzi l'rajba b'tshuva, shemaisa ba l'fanav v'etzficha heter. He once had a maisa, somebody took a nether in his own dream, and the Rajba required a heter for the nether. Now, what's the svara? Much of the svara. Again, I understand that he's saying, the Ron says, I understand the nidur, Kadosh Baruch Hu could place you in nidur. How could a Kadosh Baruch Hu place you in neder? So, that's what somewhat of a tzarchin.
Because Kadosh Baruch Hu can do everything.
He can, but just in the world of the halachas of a neder, neder requires that the person himself take the neder. I guess a certain subconscious of himself in the dream, that will take an effect. I'm sure there's a deep, probably a deep sugi here of how to understand dreams.
Well, it says here, some explain it like this. Since a person generally dreams about things that he thought of while awake, we are concerned that the dream indicates that the person actually intended for this nether during the day.
Mm-hmm. But even though he'd never articulated it, and one, you need a dibor for nether to be chal, I guess the Rashba says it's the dibur is really just a giloy of his das. So the dibur is normally a giloy of his das, but when he's sleeping, the chalom is a giloy of his das. The dibur is not necessary; it just tells what he's thinking.
But
of.
He's not that when he's sleeping.
But no, but the dreams is a reflection of the das.
Here it goes on. It says according to what Harry says, it goes ulefi ze din ze shayach rak ben yidu itzdaka.
Only things that are telling machshava alone.
Right. So if you made another a regular order that you need to verbalize, it doesn't chal. But if you dreamt that you gave tzedakah and you didn't, then you probably have to do it because machshava alone was enough.
Let's say a guy dreams about giving tzedakah and something completely out of his beyond his bank account. So then what happens? I guess you have to get a release. You have to go to a chacham and be matzah and
everything. That means
that he's going to win the lottery and everything will be fine.
Yeah. Okay. Right, the dreams all depending how you interpret the dream. That's how the dream comes true.
Right. Yeah, we learned that.
The end of brachos, yeah. Okay, says the Gemara now, Chesam HaBeis, two lines down. Ravina, Havalei, Nidre, Lidvesa. Ravina, his wife, made a certain nether. So also the Kamid Rav Ashi. So Ravina went to Rav Ashi again and says, "Amarle Baal Mahul Shiyasa Shliach Lecharatas Isha. Can I represent my wife and say how she had charata? Can I go to the Talmud Chacham? Can I go to the Bezdin and say my wife had charata? Will that work? Can I represent her properly?" So Amarle Rav Ashi said back to Ravina, "E mekanfin in ilo lo. If the three dayanim are gathered together, beknufya, the Gemara uses that term when it comes to psachim, for example, karim pasach, beknufya, it comes as a whole tzibur. If the three dayanim are sitting mekanfin, then you're allowed to, but lo mekanfin, if they're not sitting together, not, it doesn't work." It's unclear why exactly that's these two are related. So let's see if Ron helps us out here. The Ron says, "Baal mal shiyasa shliach lecharata ishto. Can a husband be a representative for his wife?" Well, we really don't have that much time left, though. Haram bamzal. Perek Haramam Zal Sover Perek Bab Hilcha Shvus. The Dafka Baal. The question is only with respect to a husband. The Baylon Mipnei Baal Ki Isha. Because a husband's like a wife. Isha Kegufa. About all the Machir Pshita Lon Sheinu Nasa Shliach. The Tzarech Sheihanod Bifnei Amatir. When it comes to Shlichas, doesn't work. Even though Shliach Shadam Kamoso, you need Mamish Kegufo. Shliach is not Kegufo. It's Kamoso, but not Kegufo. Only the only question here is by a wife, a husband, not by a Shliach. Now the rest we could really jump down here. Ishto kegufo dami. That's the question is only with respect to ishto kegufo, not other shluchim. If you go down around halfway down the narrow line, it says maskinan in the Ran. Maskinan the afilu bebal, even by a husband it's limited. I mekanfinan in ilo mekanfinan lo. Davagav the ishto kegufo, even though the wife and the husband are really like one and the same. Lo hikilu gave baal, they weren't leaning ella hecha de bekanfe, only when the dayanim were sitting together as a unit. Aval de liknve lekachila gave lo came into mechavrasa de milsa she you know the asbasham. But that they should gather them together, not true. They shouldn't be that way. Meaning, what's going on here, it sounds like only if they're already sitting at as a bezdin could the husband be represented, representing the wife. But if they were not sitting as a bezdin, he cannot collect them together. I'm not getting the correlation here. It sounds like they just made a arbitrary limitation. That's what it sounds like to me. Since it's not actually the wife, it's a representative. So they wanted to make a distinction of when he works, when he can't work. But it doesn't seem like there's a real direct correlation between these two halachas. Okay, back to the Gemara now. Shmami Natlas, we learned three different things from this discussion between Rav Ani, Rav Ravina, and Rav Ashi. Shmamina Baal Nasa Shliach Lecharatas Isha. Number one is a husband can represent his wife, can be the Shliach for Charatas Isha.
There's something very interesting.
Yeah, what's that?
We were running late. Mm-hmm. But a different way to explain this is that it says like this. It says that we're concerned that if they're all together, then the husband will relay her charata in a normal way.
Okay.
But if they're not together, he might exaggerate her charata so that they should agree to get together.
Uh-huh.
Meaning that, so he won't be relaying the exact situation. Maybe she doesn't have such a big charata, but he wants him to join them and bother them, so he's going to exaggerate on her charata.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yes.
Fine. Shkoyach. What made that the Ram maybe go on to say that possibly? There's another pshat here. Maybe that's what he's saying.
Yes, mefarshim. It doesn't say who.
Okay, fine. Very good. That makes sense. Okay, so Gemara says we learn three shmamidas from this exchange between Ravina and Ravashi. Shmamina baal nasa shliach lecharatas ishto. Number one is that a husband may represent his wife for her charata. Number two, shmamina lo shari lemishrei nidrei baaser derave. Person may not be Matir Nether in the place of his Rebbe. Now Ravina was a Talmud of Rav Ashi, so Ravina could have just released his own wife, so he had to go to Rav Ashi, because since he lived in the same place as Rav Ashi, you can't paskin, you can't be Matir Nedarim in the place of your Rebbe. There's a discussion here in the Ran here, how could that really be true? Ravina was a Karov, and a Karov cannot be Matir. You can't be Matir your own wife's Nether here. What's a Havamina here to think that that works? So he ended up explaining, I had to read this all outside, he ended up explaining that he write the Ravina on his own couldn't be Matir's wife, but he can sit with two other people as a unit of three to be Matir his wife from this Nether. Then the Gemara says, the third Shmamina is Shmamina ki mekanfinan shaber dami. When you when they're grouped together, then he's able to represent his wife. And then the Gemara says, Shamta filu ba'asa de rabbi v'yochid mumcha shari shamta. Then a person can, however, place a person in Nidui, may excommunicate a person in the place of his rabbi. He just can't be matir, but he can place him there initially. And a yachin mumcha, one individual who's a mumcha, is permitted to undo a Nidui like Rav Ashi. Even though Rav Ashi was a yachin, since he was a yachin mumcha, expert, he'd be allowed to release her from it. So there's a whole discussion here. The Ran also, there's a mumcha here also requires smicha. What's smicha? Smicha, special smicha. Smicha we have nowadays is in the actual smicha, but you have to have smicha from Moshe to Yeshua and passed on, placing hands on the Rebbeim to have permission to paskin shilas. Do you require smicha as well? That's a debate that's found in the Ran. Okay, then the Gemara halfway down says, Amar Rabbi Shimon bar Zvid, Amar Rabbi Yitzhak bar Tavla, Amar Rabbi Chiyah bar Aricha, Debei Rabbi Acha, Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Alota, Amar Rabbi Chinina, Amar Rabbi Yasha, Mishrei Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai, a lot of names. Four lines of names. My dichsiv. What does the pasuk mean when it says the pasuk that's found in Malachi, Zarech lachem yirei shmi, and it will the sun will shine to you those who see shmi, my name, literally, I guess. Rashi says what it means yirei shmi is l'misha yirayin l'hotzi shem shemaim. Those who are careful and scared of saying my name in vain, for them they'll have the sun will shine for them. Elu, says the Gemara, Elu b'nei adam shein yirein lahotzi shem shemaim. We just saw in Rashi that. The Vatala. People who are concerned and scared to say Hashem's name in vain, they'll be the people who are going to zocha to the zrichas Hashemish, the rising of the sun. Then the rest of the pasuk in Malachi says, Shemesh tzedakah umarpe. That the sun is a tzedakah and it's a form of healing. So what does that mean? Amar Bai explains, Shema Mia, we learn from here, Charga de Yoma. What's Charga de Yoma? So Rashi explains, Charga de Yoma is Zihara de Shimsha, the sun rays. Hainu lo, dichsev v'chol dari ari kilo chashivan. That the sun rays is, I'm not sure that, I forget the Gemara there exactly. Okay, so the sunrise there. And let's see, is there another shot here? Where's the Ran here? The Ran on the bottom says, you
it
see
says
that?
Avak. What's Avak?
Yeah, that's the Ran says. The Ran says, Avak is dust. You see like the sun coming from the window, you see the dust floating, the particles? I think that's the Ran referring to. It's Avak hanira bechama kishi nechnas derechalon karoi chirga. When the sun passes through the window and you see the particles floating, those shmamina, back to the charga, those the particles, the yoma, masei, do heal people. That's what Gemara is about to say.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, very good. Excellent. So before we get to that line, though, very good. You looked ahead?
No,
okay, I'm kidding. So before we get ahead, just there's a Tosos here who asks on the bottom here. He says, Chirga de Yoma Masse, it's a few lines up in the Tosos. Tema, my refu Yeshua, what kind of medicine is there in the particles floating in these sun rays? He says, Shema mirape kishimistaklin bo kamar. Maybe when you're staring at them, somehow there's a certain way of healing. Inami lechola kamar kedamin barabasa idli dchame idli ktsira. So I don't know what it's referring to, but there's trying to figure out what the refu is. There's some refu.
Or you get asked.
What? Then the Gemara says, this is David's point, Upliga the Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Lakish argues on this pshat. And he says, Damar ein gehenim leolam haba. There's no gehenim leolam ba. Ela kadosh baruchu moti chame min artikat. He takes out the sun, and what happens? Tzadikim mitzrapim ba, Risham nidonim ba. Tzadikim are going to get healed, and the Risham are going to get punished to this, right? Shenemar v'zarach alachem yirei shmi shemesh v'gomer. This very pasuk is the source of that. There's nothing bad. It's all Gehenna's not a bad place. It just depends on your perspective. That's what they used to always say, you know, when we were younger. With Olam Haba sitting in the base measures learning. So those who like to learn are really very much going to enjoy it, and those who hate learning are very much going to hate it. They're forced to sit there in the base medrash locked up and face a Gemara in their face. So that's what the some used to compare, give what Olam Haba is like. So whatever it is, it's the same exact chefsa of the Shemesh, whatever the Shemesh represents, it's going to be positive for the Tzaddikim, but negative for the Rishayim. And they quote the pasuk, not only that, it concludes the Gemara, they're going to enjoy, not only will it heal them, but they're going to get enjoyment from all this. Fine. So what does that pasuk mean? Pasuk is the end of Malachi, that they will go out. I'm going to need some help here, Harry, if you got
it. The tzaddikim are like the ships that when you feed them, you know, to feed them to make them fat, so they're enjoying it.
They're going to fatten up.
So that's the...
Okay. And Rishama are going to be nidonim, but they will be judged through from this son, Shinemar, Hine Yom Ba, Boer Kitana. That day will come, and it's going to be hot as fire. Let's just look at this last round, if there's anything interesting here. The round writes, the last few lines, ain't Gehenim lost in love, there's no Gehenim in the future. Lav lacham riso kamar. This is not referring to after death. Devadei ikah Gehenim l'rasham. There definitely is Gehenim. You can't deny that fact. El la'asir lavo lachat tchias ameisim kamar. In this world with tchias ameisim, that's what he means. There's no Gehenim in this world. She'osin rasham she'yu l'charfos l'dron olam k'dichse b'daniel. Those who will be disgraced will be in the depths. Like it says in Daniel, lo hayu nidurim Gehenim el b'hai dina she'kadosh baruch yotzi chamim min artiko k'dei she'ilu mitzdarin v'yishrapu b'tadikim v'alchinam imuchach behedi b'perek avod azara l'achar tchias ameisim kamar. Referring to after tchias ameisim. But ena chanami after death, there certainly is such a concept as Gehenim. Don't get him wrong. Okay. Shkoyach. Wonderful daf today.